puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And welcome to the latest installment of Abandoned Manitoba. And when Gordon Goldsboro was leaving last week, he said, I'm going to take you to a place that you probably have never heard of, one of the most remote places on Abandoned Manitoba. Welcome back, Gordon.
Good morning, Terry.
Gordon, of course, with the Manitoba Historical Society. This community, as I recall, you said it was named Roughton?
Roughton, R-O-F-T-O-N. And I'd never heard of it before I did some exploration here. So I'd venture to say that most listeners will have never heard of it.
And where is it?
It's in southeastern Manitoba. It's just a few miles southeast of Gardenton, Manitoba.
Okay. And what's there?
Well, not a whole lot. But to explain this, what happened, I should maybe step back and just tell you a little bit about how I ended up finding Roughton and learning a little more about it. I had heard quite some time ago from a listener, actually, about a cemetery that was located in the RM of Stuartburn, and it was a cemetery called St. Nicholas Ukrainian Orthodox Cemetery. And they said, well, you know, it's there, but you can't get to it. And, of course, that's a challenge that I guess can't pass up. They said it was because the road to it was only passable in just very, very dry weather. Otherwise, it was impassable to get in there. Okay, so I filed that away in the back of my mind. And then more recently, I was contacted by someone. Well, listeners may remember a fellow named Ron Robinson.
Of course.
And turned out to be a relative of his. She contacted me because she had purchased some property in the area around Gardenton, and on her property was a small building. And she was curious about it, didn't really know much about it, was wondering if I could help her work out its history. So she sent me a picture of it, and immediately I knew that it was a school. You know, there's a certain architecture that it just screams schoolhouse. It was a small building. It had a row of windows along one side. That's usually the giveaway because they always had to have lots of light for the kids to be able to study. So windows side by side, and that was pretty much it. So we went down to have a look at this schoolhouse, and so walked around it. Yep, it's a schoolhouse for sure. Went inside. It's a really small building. I mean, it probably couldn't have had room for more than a dozen students at most. That was interesting. But what was most interesting was that it didn't have any signs of ever having been electrified. You know, most of the schools when they were first built didn't have electricity because electricity didn't come into rural Manitoba until, well, in many cases, the 40s, 50s, 60s. And this one didn't have even any evidence that it had ever been added after the fact. Most schools, once they had electricity in the air, they would have put in electric lights at least. This one, nothing. So I thought, well, that's interesting. It must have come from a fairly remote place where there wasn't any electricity installed. Now, it wasn't at Gardenton itself. That was my first thought, well, maybe it's the school from Gardenton. Well, no, because the school from Gardenton would have been much bigger because it was a larger community. They certainly wouldn't have used a school that would fit 10 students. So that was a bit surprising. So I thought, well, I don't really know. I can't say much. Well, then I thought, well, you know, I'm in this area and there was this cemetery that I had been told about. Maybe while I'm here anyway, I'll just go and check that out too. So it turns out it was only about, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 miles from this person's place, parked the car, put on my rubber boots, and I ended up – well, in the end, I walked 6 miles in those rubber boots. It turned out of those 6 miles, I would say at least a third of it, I was almost to the top of the boots. I mean, in other words, it wasn't just damp. It was really, really
but
wet.
But you kept going.
Well, you know, I guess that's something says something about me. Once I've got a challenge in my head, I'm not letting it go. So I had to see this cemetery. Now that I've come this far – so finally we got to the cemetery, and there it was. There was a cemetery, all right. In fact, they had installed a fence around it, which was good because it turned out this area was a community pasture. It's an area where farmers from the local area can put their livestock and graze them. So there, in fact, was large numbers of livestock in the area, and so to prevent them from getting in amongst the gravestones, they had put a fence around it, which was good because it did keep the livestock out, and you could tell that because, well, the vegetation was growing lushly within the cemetery where, of course, the cattle weren't able to graze. In fact, so lushly that there were small trees growing that were over my head. So what had appeared then is that the cemetery had really not been maintained in quite a long time. So I walked around inside. Yes, there were monuments there. Most of them were made out of concrete, and they had Cyrillic writing on them, which was consistent with it being a Ukrainian Orthodox cemetery. Interestingly enough, the dates on the stones all dated from the 1920s, 30s, and one was from the 1940s. So the community of Roughton, and that's what this later turned out to be, really only occurred in the early 20th century. And by the 30s and 40s, it was pretty much petered out. As we were walking back, we ended up running into a fellow on a quad. But that was a fortuitous meeting too, because he said when we were there, oh yeah, there was, it used to be also a church there next to the cemetery, and there was a school. Oh, that's interesting. What he also said was that there was a big stone just a little ways over, and the stone was called Kapke's Stone. Well, that turned out that Kapke was the name of the guy who had owned the property before that person who had contacted me about the school.
Okay.
He had moved the school to his yard.
I wondered. Okay.
So Kapke's Stone, Kapke's Rock, was where his family had homesteaded. And presumably he had gone to the school in this little community of Roughton. And then later when he moved closer to Gardenton, the little school was sitting vacant. And he moved it to his property. So it was all starting to fit into place. That little schoolhouse was probably the school from this community. So now I had indications there was a church, there was a school. What was the community? So I went back to my books and found that, in fact, there was a little-known community called Roughton at this spot. It's only about 2 miles from the U.S. border, and apparently it was at one point a fairly major border crossing. So, in fact, some people locally there call the town the border town. But if there's a book called The Geographic Names of Manitoba that was compiled by the provincial government, and they said, no, the name of it was Roughton. And apparently the reason for that was that it was a fairly rough place, and so it was a rough town.
All right, no.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
So whether or not that's true, I don't know. But so at one time, Roughton was a church, a school, a general store, a few houses, and that was it. And it apparently petered out sort of in the early 20th century, probably in the 20s and 30s. And it was mainly abandoned because it was very wet. The area was traditionally always kind of swampy. And of course, did I see that in spades? It was an experience, but we found an interesting cemetery. We were able to identify that person's her little schoolhouse in her yard. It's one called The Border. In fact, that was its name. The official name of it was The Border School. And we've learned a little bit about an area that I didn't know anything about before.
So. Superb detective work. Now, before you go, we have to talk about your book launch. It's happening on Tuesday.
Yeah. That's right.
Abandoned Manitoba. You brought a copy in right here. It's absolutely gorgeous. How did you go about deciding what to include?
Well, that was a real dilemma because, unfortunately, they all, I think, are worth a story. I wanted to have ones that had a particularly important backstory, a story that told us something about how Manitoba has changed through the years. There's been a change in our transportation. At one time, everyone got around the province by rail. Well, now, of course, there's a very good provincial highway network, and you can get anywhere from anywhere by road. And, of course, that spelled the downfall of a lot of small communities, because once it was possible to drive everywhere, well, then you didn't need to stay in your community to buy your groceries and your other supplies. And that was one of the contributing factors to the death knell of small communities. And, of course, along with that, then, you see the decline of a whole bunch of other things. On the cover of the book, for example, you see a grain elevator.
Which one is that?
This is the one actually near at Brookdale, Manitoba, northeast of Brandon.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those, of course, are mostly gone. Well, that was one of the phenomena that was attributed to the change in the transportation network. Once you could travel for shopping, once you could travel to deliver your grain, well, there was no longer a need to have a small elevator in your town. Instead, you'd have a great big elevator that you'd have to drive further for. So that was one of my incentives, was to tell stories that were important to the history of Manitoba. But also one of the deciding factors, I suppose, were stories that resonated with me personally. And I don't mean that to brag. There was a couple of places in particular that really profoundly affected me. One of them, for example, was the Valley View Hospital in Brandon, the hospital on the North Hill.
I remember that story, yeah.
Yeah, and it was the story of my great-grandmother who had been a patient there.
Mm-hmm.
She died there, and it's arguable that the reason I'm alive is because my grandfather would not leave his grandmother behind. He wanted to go home. he had come here from England, and he decided instead to stay. He met my grandmother, and of course, as a result, I'm here. So, of course, this building at the hospital was where my grandmother was. She actually spent some of her time in this building. So this building has a special connection to me, but it's also the very first building that demonstrated a new approach to the treatment of mental illness.
I remember you saying that.
It was previously seen as just a place to park people. You just put them in this facility and forgot about them. Whereas now, increasingly, you began to see it as a treatable thing. And I think today we have a much more enlightened view of mental illness. And this building is symptomatic of that transformation. So to me, that was a great story. When I have the latitude of a book, you know, I can put way more detail in. So I think listeners will find that the chapter that relates to stories they've heard on this show have lots more information than what they've already heard. So don't feel that just because you listen to the radio that you know the whole story. I would suggest that there's all kinds of information you're going to find and be surprised about in this book.
Fantastic. See you at McNally Robinson on Tuesday night at 7 for the launch of the book. This is going to be just such an auspicious occasion. Thanks for the radio series that you've done, but also thanks for this spectacular book.
Well, it's really thanks to you, Terry. You know, if it hadn't been for getting me on this show, this book would not exist.
Well, Jan Harding Jensen had a big role in getting you on the show, so we say thanks to her as well.
Indeed we do.
All righty.
Next week, I think we're going to visit a really interesting site near Verdun that's connected with the early engagement of farmers in Manitoba politics.
I look forward to that. It'll be great, I'm sure. Gordon, thank you.
You're welcome, Terry.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Our weekend morning show historian Gordon Goldsboro here every Sunday with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places in our province. And you can explore some of the other places that Gordon has documented by heading to the Historical Society website, mhs.mb.ca, back next week.